And when you got saved, when you gave your life to Christ and you accepted what he did at the cross, how many know that he gave you a new name? And he wrote that name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank God tonight that I'm a child of God. Amen. That doesn't mean we're perfect. Amen. We're all a work in progress. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a work in progress. Amen. I'm a work in progress. You know, I think of Bible says that he's the potter and we're the clay, and he's got us on the wheel, and he's shaping us, he's molding us. And some of us, man, we're just a jacked up piece of clay. Amen. God hasn't got to the beautiful part yet. He's still working on us. But we know that in God's eyes, we're all beautiful. Aren't you grateful for that tonight? Amen. You know, one of the things that amazes me is the love and the mercy and the grace of God. When you look down through the Bible from Genesis going all the way up through Revelation, you see all the different examples that God gives. You see a lot of people that were failures. I mean, they made a lot of mistakes, and you shake your head because man, the way man would deal with them would be to cast them aside, but God isn't willing to just cast them aside. He's the love and the mercy and the grace of God is something that goes beyond any human imagination. It's amazing to me. It's amazing. And Pastor Paul mentioned this morning Peter and Judas and how one repented and the other went out and he hung himself. But in Peter, we see that there's hope. Amen. Peter goes out and he wept bitterly. And I love the fact that when Jesus was resurrected from the grave and they meet him there, and the first thing he says is, go tell Peter. That was the first person that he wanted them to know that he was alive, was Peter. Let Peter know that I'm alive, that I'm risen. Amen. So with that thought of what Pastor Paul mentioned this morning, I want to take a look at two other individuals and how they basically spent their life. One could have spent their life on God and chose not to, and the other did it in kind of a corrupt way. And I want to look at Jacob and Esau, if I could. And here we see this conflict between these two brothers. In Genesis chapter 25, reading in verse 21, I believe it is, it says, "And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it is thus, why is this happening to me?' So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. And when the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in the tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob." So I want to take a look at these two individuals and kind of just see how, as they begin to develop, what they do with what God has been given them. Of course, first I want to look at Jacob. Jacob, I mentioned in Breakaway, I was kind of sharing at the offering time this thought that Jacob was a con man. That word heel grabber, Jacob, his name heel grabber, it means schemer. It means somebody that's always trying to scam his way. He's always conniving. Anybody ever known or been scammed by somebody? By a solicitor on the phone or somebody in the street or a relative, God forbid. There's always a con artist. There's always somebody. And here's Jacob. He's a schemer. He's a shyster. He's a liar. Not only that, but you know, some people are liars and then others are good liars. And if you lie and lie and lie, how many know eventually that lie, you're going to stumble over your lies and you're going to get caught. But here's Jacob. His name means schemer, and as we'll see a little bit later on, he basically commits identity theft. And if you have Jacob around you, you definitely want to have LifeLock. Come on, church. Because Jacob is about to pull a fast one on you. I love what Pastor Rod preached in Breakaway. He was talking about building walls. Great message. Let me just put in a good word for Breakaway. Breakaway is picking back up. It's growing. It's exciting. I love Breakaway. Amen. Some of y'all, you go to Breakaway. We appreciate that. But we want to encourage you. Rod and Carmen are doing a fantastic job. And he just preached a tremendous message on Friday night talking about identity and how we build up walls and we use certain identities to hide behind. And so he was talking, I'll just share a little bit of his story, but he was talking about when he was in high school, you know, he was a jock, and he would hang around the jocks and the athletes, and that kind of became his identity. He found that he could fit in with the crowd, and wherever the jocks were, that's where he was. And then he kind of went through a transition where, you know, he kind of went out over into the freak stage, he said. I don't know what the freak stage was back then, amen. I don't know if it was long hair or what it was, but... then he said he went through the frock stage. That's where you're a freak and a jock. And so he had these walls that he built up. Then he went through the cowboy stage, and he was basically talking about how as a Christian we have these different walls that we begin to build up, and we hide behind those walls. Amen. Easy to put on a good front when you come to church because we put on our church mask. We put on our church face. Amen. How you doing, brother? Praise God. So good to see you. But your wife knows that when you go home, there's another wall that you're hiding behind. Amen. There's another mask that you're carrying, another identity. And so he began to talk about this and how we got to tear down these walls, walls of bitterness and walls of resentment, walls of pride. And so as I'm painting a picture of Jacob, I think it's important to know that as Jacob moves forward into God's destiny for him, he has this persona, he has this characteristic or this identity of being a con man. He's a liar, and he can't shake this. We see that from the very beginning, Isaac, he has the favor of his dad, Isaac. He's the firstborn. Bible says he's got all these talents. He's a skillful hunter. He's in his father's eyes. You know, this is his pride and joy, the star football player. This is my son. I'm so proud of him. And he's a great hunter and this and that. And in that light, Jacob, he's kind of a little bit over on the other side. He's never getting the praise and the affection from his father. So he almost feels rejected, if you will. Pastor Paul talked about being rejected. Some of you know what that's like to be rejected. And so Jacob, on the other hand, he's coddled by his mother. And so he's got all these issues going on down on the inside. And he wants what Esau has. He wants his father to look on him and say, you know what, Jacob, I love you too. Man, you're doing an awesome job. Man, I'm so glad that you accomplished that and you did this. But he never gets any of that. And so here we see Jacob begin to develop this nature that's down on the inside. I believe many times that con man is the carnal nature. Amen? Here's the interesting thing about Jacob as you read through the history and the story of Jacob. You see that Jacob does have the favor of God on his life. In spite of this bent characteristic or spirit that he has, in spite of all the problems and the conniving, that somehow God still says, you know what, my hand is on him. Now, that's what I'm talking about, the grace of God tonight, because a lot of times there'll be people in church, and like Peter, their heart is to love God, to do what's right for God, but somewhere they get this hiccup, if you will. Something becomes bent. I'm not justifying sin. I'm not justifying the attitudes and the actions of some people. But I'm here to tell you that today we're human beings. We're imperfect people. Amen. Everybody in here is imperfect people. We're never going to graduate. We're just trying. Amen. And if you're trying, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to succeed. Because you're on a journey. And the interesting thing is God hasn't taken his hand off of him. Jesus never took his eyes off of Peter. And so here's Jacob. He's got the favor of God. Now let's just kind of switch over if we could. Let's look over, let's go on in our scripture, verse 29. I want to look at Esau for a minute. Last night as I was leaving the Spanish service, for some reason, I have no idea, I just wanted a taco. You know, you get around the Spanish ministry, and it's like, man, I just want a taco. So I'm walking out the hallway. Oscar, I asked Oscar, I said, Oscar, where can I want to go to a taco truck. Tell me a good taco truck. And he said, the best taco truck, he said, is up off of Fillmore, and it's closed right now. It's not even open, but there's one up over off of Airport, and there's one over here, and he's telling me. And so I told the girls, I said, let's go get a taco. We're going to get a taco tonight. I don't want Taco Bell. I want a taco. Man, you know why I like talking about food? People say, Pastor, you're always talking about food. You know why? Because everybody in here can relate to food. You would. From this point, see, you're looking at one person. I'm looking at a whole bunch of people with smiles on their face. Somebody's going to leave this place tonight and go get a taco. Amen. Get a taco 12-pack or something. So I'm driving down Academy. You know, I'm thinking it's a little bit chilly outside. You know, let's go get a taco. And, it's, you know, and I look over and I get to Airport and I see El Rey del Taco. You know what that is. That's the Taco King. Amen. You like Burger King? This is Taco King. This is, you know, so that's the place, guys. We're going to go in. It's indoors. Let's go in. We go in. We sit down. And it's authentic as far as I know because they started talking to us in Spanish. Amen. Everything's in Spanish. And so we sit down. I'm looking at the tacos. And I ask them, do you have any menudo? Come on, y'all, don't shout me down. You know, menudo is the breakfast of champions. Menudo, he says right here, it says red stew. We're going to read that. Man, don't sell your birthright for a bowl of menudo. Let's look at Esau. Man, let me just say, it was good menudo. I'm sure there's probably better menudo, but man, it hit the spot, and I did get a taco, and then I ate some of Sarah's taco and ate good, amen. Verse 29, it says, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, and he was famished, and he said to Jacob, que yo tengo hambre, yo tengo mucho hambre, I'm hungry. That's why he was also called Edom, and Jacob replied, first, now we see the conniver, the schemer, the con man, Jacob, and he says, sell me your birthright. We're going to talk about the birthright here in just a second. He says, sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some menudo. Amen. It says lentil stew here, but we're going to say menudo tonight. He ate and drank. And then he got up and left. And then it says something very interesting. So Esau despised his birthright. Now I want to look just briefly at the meaning of the birthright for the people of God at that time. All of us know that the firstborn means the first son born, but it had a lot more significance to it than that. Figuratively, in the sense, there was a priority or a superiority and an excellence. Listen to what it says in the Day Study Bible. There are 22 blessings of the firstborn or the birthright. And it says the first of which is to be the firstborn meant that you would receive a double portion of the paternal inheritance. This is something that is clearly stated in the laws of that time. Deuteronomy 21:17, it says he must acknowledge the son of his unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double share of all he has. That son is the first sign of his father's strength, and the right of the firstborn belongs to him. In other words, there was a great blessing that came with being the firstborn. Something very powerful about that. And so as we read this chapter, we begin to read about Esau, we find that Esau was the firstborn, and he was the favorite. Verse 28, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. In other words, from before he was even born, there was a blessing and there was an inheritance. See, how does that apply to me today? Well, as we move into the New Testament, we just got done singing that song, You're a Good, Good Father. You know what that means? That means when I gave my life to Christ, he gave me a new identity. That Bible says old things are passed away, all things become new. We become a child of God. As you read through Romans, you see that we inherit. There's a certain inheritance that comes with being a Christian. We are a child of God. We're born again. We're heirs to an inheritance. Listen to what it says in Galatians 3, 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Something powerful in that. Amen. So, like Esau, we've been blessed. Amen. But let me ask you a question. How many Christians have thrown away everything that he did at the cross? Amen. The blood that was spilt at the cross, the sacrifice that was given, the love that was displayed there at the cross, and they throw it away for a bowl of menudo. They despise their birthright. Come on. Verse 34 says he went his way and he despised his birthright. I don't believe that he despised it after he gave it away. I believe that what happened is he despised it before he ever gave it away. In other words, whatever it was that was there, he became very complacent about it, and he did not esteem it and hold it in high value. Amen? When you appreciate something, you don't just give it away. Amen. You hold that. There's an extreme value that comes with that, and he easily gave it up. So as I begin to apply this to the church and the Christian of today, and I'm looking at Esau and how he so willingly gives this up. He's in this moment. He's very impulsive, and he wants this stew, and it's pleasing to the eye, to the nose. He's famished. He's hungry. He's basically fulfilling and gratifying the flesh and the desire of the flesh. And you can apply that to Christians today, to people today. What we have, I'm so grateful. Starting with, number one, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that, amen, there is an exit strategy for us. Amen. We don't just die in our sin and go to hell. We don't just die in our sin, but there's a plan that was given by God for you and for me. And I appreciate that. Secondly, I appreciate this church. I appreciate the vision. I appreciate that we preach the unadulterated gospel. Amen. We don't water it down. We don't sugarcoat things. Thank God for that. We're not just going to stroke and joke. Amen. We're going to lay it out there and let the Holy Spirit deal with us. Amen. But when you appreciate something like that, you hold it and you esteem it and you hold it in high value. And a lot of times I believe that something becomes off kilter with people. We see it and we wonder, something's not right in that person's life. Not that we're going to judge. We're not. That's not something that we want to do. But out of concern, we begin to address certain issues. And by the way that the people talk, by their attitude, they start to miss church. And you wonder, do they esteem, do they hold in high value their birthright? Esau despised his birthright. Secondly, he had an appetite. So as a Christian, one of the things that you're going to have to learn is how to battle the flesh. Amen. It's not hocus pocus. You're delivered. Now you'll never desire another cigarette. I mean, no, the devil ain't going to stop. You can get set free, delivered from cigarettes, and be free for 3-4 years. And man, I'm telling you what, the devil, he'll come back around. You might be free from alcohol. Man, 6-7 months, you're clean. The devil doesn't care. He's going to come back around because he understands that it's a war against the flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The flesh is an enemy of the spirit. What's your appetite? What are you feeding? What kind of music do you listen to? What do you watch on TV? What do you look at on the internet? What kind of people do you hang around? That is very important as well. What they say and how they act, all these things, when it comes to the flesh, there's certain appetites that the world will give. And here we see Esau, he has this appetite for the flesh. Romans 8, 13 through 15, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Esau, What an interesting thing. He just kind of throws it away. But let me jump back over to Jacob the con man. Amen. Jacob the con man. I was sharing this as well on Friday night in Breakaway at the offering time about how Jacob, well, basically we know the story. Let me just kind of go back to the story of Isaac. When Isaac is dying and he calls in his son Esau, and he says, Esau, I want you to go out and I want you to kill an animal. I'm about to die. I'm going to give you the blessing. Bring me my favorite carne asada. Amen. Amen. Bring me my favorite meat. He goes, I know you can hunt. Go out. And Rebecca, she's there. She's listening to this. Rebecca was in on this with Jacob. She's looking out for her boy, mama's boy, you know. And so she begins to plot and she begins to devise a plan and takes Jacob and says, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to make this stew. I know exactly how to make it. I got the recipe. And Isaac is going to bless you. And basically Jacob says, well, how's he going to know? You know, my brother's hairy and this and that. And he says, don't worry, we're going to take care of that. They go and they kill a young goat. They put the hair on his arms and they go in and basically they deceive Isaac into giving the blessing to Jacob. Amen. You can read about that in the Bible. And of course, Esau comes in and Esau's furious. Isaac says, you know what? I've already given it away. The blessing has already been given to Jacob. I had no idea it was him. He's blind. He can't see. And so he gives it away. And something happens in that moment. And the Bible says that Esau is furious. And he goes away and he hates his brother Jacob. And he begins to plot a plan against Jacob to kill him. So all of a sudden, we see now that Jacob, the deceiver, is now on the run. And here's where I see a lot of Christians. They think that they can just put it in the past and run away from their problems, but their problems are always going to follow them. They're always going to be there. That's why what I'm trying to say tonight is there are some things that you cannot leave behind those walls. As Rod was saying, you got to tear those walls down. You got to get to the root of the problem. You got to let God get down in your backyard and begin to deal with those things rather than just sweeping it under the rug. Amen. So Jacob, he's on the run. He goes to Uncle Laban's house. He goes to his place. And when he gets there, just to make a long story short, he sees this beautiful woman, amen, by the name of, what is it? Rachel? Amen. Not Leah, Rachel. And he falls in love with her. I mean, she's everything that he's dreamed of. This is the woman, my goodness, there's no question about it. I'm in love with her. This is the woman that I want. And so he goes and he talks to Laban, and Laban says, here's what I'll do. I'll make a deal with you. And what's happening is Jacob, the con man, is about to get conned. Amen. How many know you can't pick a snake up by the tail? When you pick that snake up by the tail, it's going to reach around and bite you. And that's exactly what happens to Jacob here, is he reaches down to pick up this snake, and he realizes later on that he's being conned. He falls in love with this beautiful woman, and he says, I'll tell you what, you can have her to marry if you work for me for 7 years. Man, he's so in love with her. He'll work for 14, but he only says seven. He feels like he's getting a good deal. Works for 7 years, and on the honeymoon night, amen, they go through the ceremony. He wakes up the next morning, and he looks over, and he says, dear God, up until this moment, I've only ever seen you with makeup on. What happened? I'm just kidding. He woke up the next morning, and guess what? It wasn't Rachel. It was the older sister, Leah. Now the con man's been conned. And like I told him on Friday night, Leah was only her second name. Her first name was actually Ug. Ug Leah. I mean, the Bible says she had pretty eyes, okay? So the Bible says he had to work another 7 years, but here we see this man. I mean, it's like he can never get free. It's always catching up to him. Then he makes Laban mad. Laban's upset with him. He gets his, by this time, as I said, even with all these problems, God's still blessing him. God's hand and favor is still on him. Even though he's got this bent thing down on the inside of him, God is still blessing. God still has his favor on him, but he runs from Laban. Then as he's running, he finds out that his brother Esau knows where he's at, and he's coming with 400 men. He's like, man, why can't I just shake this? Here's where we find the grace of God, and I want to finish with this in Genesis chapter 32. He comes to a place called Jabbok. Some of you have heard this, a place called, it's the brook Jabbok, and he sends his family on ahead, and he knows that, you know what, tomorrow he's going to have to encounter his brother. His brother's coming after him to kill him. He knows where he's at. I mean, this is the end of the road. And so he gets to this place Jabbok, which means a passing over or a struggle. And up until this point, man, he's dealt with this identity crisis. Who am I? How can I get free of this? I'm always hiding behind this wall that I've built. And basically, if you ever want to get free and get victory over this, you have to come to this place called Jabbok. This is the nitty-gritty. This is where you got to get down and dirty with God. And until you do this, until you wrestle with God, you're never going to find the victory. You'll just carry that thing through, and it'll haunt you. It'll follow you. Everywhere you go, you'll be 15 years down the road, and that thing will still be like hounds behind you. It's like, why can't I get free from this? But if you come to this place, Jabbok, here's how you're going to get free. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 22. Let's read it. The same night he arose, and he took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok, and he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. You got to get alone with God. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. And I love this, that Jacob, here's Jacob, man. Jacob is broken himself. Jacob's got all these internal issues, man, going on the inside. And he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said, what is your name? And he said, my name is Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but from now on it'll be Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him as he passed, Peniel limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. But here we see a picture of Jacob wrestling with God. Here's an encounter with God. And this is something that all of us are going to have. You say, what is that? It's an encounter with Jesus Christ at the cross. Not religion, not a set of rules, not trying to be good enough, but something that's much more powerful than that. It's the blood of Jesus. And when we find that and we get down, amen, we get down, we get nitty gritty. We say, God, don't just take a little bit of it, take it all. Remove this thing from me. That's what the blood of Jesus does at the cross. And he has this encounter with God. And when you do that, can I tell you something? All of a sudden, that thing, whatever that is in your heart, whatever that deceitfulness is in your life, that wall that you've built, all of a sudden, those walls come down. That's exactly what Rod preached. It's at the cross. It's at the cross where we have an encounter with God. And God will give you a new name. He'll give you a new name. Amen. I'm not saying you go out and change your name. Amen. But Saul of Tarsus had a radical transformation. The Bible says he was killing and looking for anybody that was preaching Jesus and the persecution of Christians. And all of a sudden he has this encounter with God and his name is changed. No longer will you be called Saul, but you'll be called Paul. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God will change your name. God will give you a testimony. That identity that you've had up until this point, whatever your dad has put on you, your brother, yourself, whatever it is, can I tell you something? Tonight, you can have a new identity, and it comes in that we're heirs and we're children of God. We're made a new creation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's be like, not like Jacob the con man. He was an ex-con. Amen. We've got any ex-cons in here? Don't raise your hand. If they only knew, that's all right. They don't need to know. Thank God. You know what? We can all be the redeemed and the righteous of God tonight. Amen. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place in reverence to God. There's people in this place tonight that, you know, if you're honest, you know, you do feel God's favor. And you do know that God has mercy and grace, and you're grateful for that. I know I'm talking to real people here tonight. I'm not just talking to people that are trying to hide and they're trying to, you know, they got some secret sin they don't want nobody about. No, I'm talking to good people here tonight. I'm talking to myself. And we would say, you know what, I believe everything that the Bible says. I want the promises of God, but, you know, there's just this one thing, or there's two things. I just can't seem to get free from it. Not necessarily an addiction. Sometimes it's something from years past. It could be bitterness. It could be resentment. It could be, I don't know, but you do. The Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart about what that is tonight. All I can say tonight is He is a good, good Father. Jacob did all these things. He burned his brother, that relationship that he had there. He deceived his father. I mean, he was a crook. He couldn't be trusted. Nobody could trust him. In spite of that, God still loved him and still had a plan for him. And I'm going to tell you tonight, in spite of what you've done, in spite of what you think about yourself, God loves you and He still has a plan for you. And that, to me, boggles my mind. Because for some people, I think, you know what? They're going to get what they deserved. Jacob got what he deserved with Laban. That's what the world thinks. He's going to get what he deserves. She's going to get what she deserves. God doesn't look at you like that. God says, you know what? They deserve better than that. And you do deserve better than that tonight. And I believe that if we're honest tonight, and we'll get down before God, and we'll get alone with God and say, God, here I am at J-Bach. I need you. I need to wrestle with you, God. Lord, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Change my character. Change my identity. Change it. Take this past, God, and bury it. Put it under the blood tonight, God. Give me a new name, a new future. He'll do that for you. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet in this place today. Amen. As we begin to sing this song, as we begin to worship, I want you to find a place, come out of your seat, if you will. These altars are open. If you want to pray at your seat, that's fine as well. But let's do business with God. Let's let God deal with our character, deal with our hearts tonight. No. Help us, God. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Have mercy on me tonight, God. God, have mercy on my soul, Lord. I don't want to be like this, Lord, God. I want to change, God. Change me, God. I can't do it myself, God. I fail. I fall. Oh, your word says, God, that you bind up the brokenhearted tonight. God, I pray that you put the pieces back together. Heal, God. Oh, heal us, Lord, spiritually. Heal us. Touch us. Save us. Save me, God. Oh, God, extend your hand of grace. God, if you can do it for Jacob, you can do it for me tonight. God, if you can do it for David, you can do it for me tonight. He first. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Shape me, God. Mold me, God.
To me, He is so wonderful.
Sing it out.
To me, He is so wonderful.
Up our hands in this place tonight. Whatever that is that you've been hanging on to, let it go. Let it go tonight. Say, I surrender. I surrender to you. I surrender my will. I surrender my thoughts. God, I surrender this hidden sin tonight, God. I give it to you, God. I'm going to trust in you, Lord, 100%. I surrender.